Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia territory of the Gidimdum clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, it is so good to be back. I had made a decision. I was going to take the summer off right from the first day, June 21st, and here it is, the first day of fall, and I'm back. So I figured the best thing that I could do on tonight's show to break back in is to give a little rundown on what I did for my 2025 summer staycation. Now, I didn't make that word up. It's just something that has been around for a while. And we had actually had a plan that we were going to pick up a small trailer and then drive down to see my brother in Los Angeles and my son in Virginia. But with all that was happening in the United States and the way that their president has treated Canada, we're very hurt by it and very disappointed. And we figured that one of the only things we can do is to take our money that we were going to put into our American trip and keep it at home in Canada and support Canada. That seems to be one of the only things that we as the people can actually do to make a bit of a difference. And that is buy Canadian, stay in Canada, and stay away from the United States. So with that sort of message on mind, I've got a little song here that I play, and I'm only going to play a little cut out of it. So if you can just hang on a second, I'll give it a go here. Okay, I just thought I'd throw a little cut in there of American Woman. That's actually by the iconic Canadian band, The Guess Who. And for most of the young folks here, that was a long time ago, back in 1970, when that song came out. But I was just trying to make a little bit of a point on the American situation. So just for carrying on now, we had made this decision that we were going to stay in Canada for our holidays, and we decided that we were going to take a 30-year reunion tour to Tuktoyaktuk, which is right on the Arctic Ocean in the Northwest Territories, and we were up there for our honeymoon. Way back now, it's got to be 1995. I just can't quite believe how time goes by. But before I get on to that journey, I wanted to sort of lay out a little more of the summer. And the first thing that happened for me was I was selected to go to the National Community Radio Conference in Nanaimo. Now, it wasn't really much of a selection because nobody else seemed to volunteer, but I thought it would be a heck of a good idea. So I went down, and actually the station manager was also down there, Glenn, so I was able to hang out with him for a little bit. But Nanaimo's a beautiful little place, and it was all set up around their university, the Island University. That's where we were staying, and then they had all the particular programs going on where we would go in, sit down, like we were in a classroom, and listen to like a lecture, but it was really just some information, passing on of information. And it was actually really cool. And we got to go that next night to a barbecue downtown at the community radio station of Nanaimo called Chili. And they're in a very cool building, the Queen's Hotel. They're in the basement, and you come in on the, in the back alley. It's just actually a funky little setup there. And we had a wonderful time there. They were very good hosts looking after us. And I, when I came away from that particular event and that time with a real excitement again for radio, it's a fascinating field, and I really enjoyed my time down there. Fortunately, I also got to visit my sons in the Lower Mainland, so it turned out to be a pretty good trip for me. So I was searching for some song or some kind of a cut, and oddly enough, I came up with this one here. It's called Nanaimo, and it's a little bit funky, so I'll give it a go here.
Location.
There it is.
Nanaimo. Nanaimo is like my favorite place in the whole wide world. La 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 la. Nanaimo, 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 Nanaimo. Nanaimo, 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 Nanaimo. Get a Nanaimo bar. It's a no bake cookie. And it tastes so wonderful. Yes, it does. Nanaimo, it's so nice. It's such a good city on Vancouver Island.
There, you got a little shot of it. And so that was a group called, what did we call that guy now? The guy who sings songs about towns. And he's... He's a quirky American singer who says he's never left his hometown. And he's written about 1,000 songs about towns around North America and produced an album about all 50 states. So that was kind of a little bit of a sidekick there. So if we just carry on a little more on the summer plans, I started out now with the next... adventure, we can call it, is my second cousin, my cousin's daughter, who would actually, she lives in Prince George, and she worked out at Powder King as one of her summer jobs as she was going to school. And so she decided she was going to get married out there. So I don't know if anybody's been up that trail, following north along the Hart Highway, up past Mackenzie and then into the along the Pine Pass into the Powder King ski hill. What a beautiful place. My goodness, in the mountains. And they say that they get the most snow in British Columbia up there. So we happened to get up there about a day early. We had this this trailer, the secondhand trailer that we'd bought. And we thought, well, why don't we run up to Tumbler Ridge and we'll catch a little glimpse of Canuso Falls. Well, that was a sweet idea. It's a nice drive, pavement all the way to Tumbler. And then it's a 50-kilometer dirt road out to the falls, which we everything went pretty good. We checked out the falls, stayed overnight, and then the next morning we got up to go, and driving out of the campsite, we hit a couple of really big potholes, a little bit too hard, and both springs on the trailer broke. Now, that's almost an impossible situation. But what could you do? They'd kind of fallen down. The frame was not rubbing on the tires, so we thought we'd just kind of limp our way back to Powder King, which we did. And by the time we got back there, it was fairly late in the day. We got the parts taken off, and then we ran to Prince George. And it was a Friday night. There was very little open, but oddly enough, Princess Auto was open, and they had the springs on the shelf. So that was pretty crazy. So we were able to get back, put those springs back on, and still make the wedding the next day, and all was good. So we had quite a lovely time. The bride and groom got married on the wharf on the pier, and after the ceremony, they jumped into the lake. So that was pretty exciting. And there was a few more. That water was cold. Let me tell you, I wasn't jumping in there. So we had quite a bit of help with the handyman, Bo, once we got the parts back that Friday night and Saturday morning. And he gave us a lot of hand. I had a couple of jacks that I didn't have. And there we go. We're back on our way the next day on Sunday after the wedding and back home. So I've got a song just to sort of recognize the fact that it was a wedding. And this is from the Rankin family. Well, let's see if we can hear this one.
Step we gaily on we go, heel for heel and toe for toe. Arm and arm and row, all for Maddie's wedding. Over hill, waist up and down, myrtle green and bracken brown. Past the shealings through the town, all for the sake of Mary. Step we gaily on we go, heel for heel and toe for toe. Arm and arm and row, all for Maddie's wedding. Plenty herring, plenty meal, plenty peep to fill her creel. Plenty bonny bairns as well, that's a toast for Mary. Step we gaily on we go, heel for heel and toe for toe. Arm and arm and row, all for Maddie's wedding.
There, I just wanted to throw that in. Now, the Rankin family, they are actually got their start in Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia. They got going around 2000 and put in quite a few years together as a group, as a family group. So there we are. We had a really nice wedding that we squeezed in, and then we were sort of pushed up against the time wall because we had purchased a ticket on the power boat that was on the Skeena River at Terrace, and we were going to take a ride up to Cassiar Cannery with Mark Perry and 12 of his friends, or fans, I guess you could call them, that had bought into this program. So that was happening on Tuesday, and of course we got home on Sunday, so we had to really get ourselves back together and head out to Terrace to get there on time. That boat ride was leaving at about 9 a.m., so we made the trip, and then I was pretty excited because I've all those years that we go up to Rupert, I've never seen the mouth of the Skeena River. And I've never seen Port Essington, which was a very was famous and large kind of a cannery area back in the day when there was several canneries on the river. So it was sort of exciting for me to be able to see that, and plus to travel on the river with Mark was just like a bonus. So we took off. All was good. We had a really good captain on the boat, and We got to, we went up downriver, and they had spots picked out. There was a campsite and kind of a lodge. And every time we stopped, Mark would get off, and he would play a couple songs for us. So it was a real bonus. The whole day. It was a warm day, sunshine and everything was going real well. We went and had lunch up the Cassox River, and well, I guess we were about a kilometer up there and on a sandbar. We had, it was just a beautiful spot with waterfalls around and so on. Then we got back on the Skeena. We hadn't gone very long, and the second boat started to have fuel trouble. So we had to find a boat launch that we could get it out at, and there was, the, oddly enough, there was a random launch right around there. And the six passengers on that boat got on our boat, and so we kind of started to overload a little bit, but we were able to make it. It was just a bit of a slower go. And as you're working your way towards the mouth, you're also fighting the tide. And so there's, it's, I would say it was a slight challenge to keep ourselves going ahead without being pushed back. Then when you get towards the ocean, there always seems to be more wind. And so it for those that weren't under the cover, it was a little chilly back there, actually. But we made her, and we got down back down into the cannery. And Justine, who owns that cannery and has a B&B there, she was sort of our host, and she had a lovely dinner for us. And then, of course, after dinner, we got another rendition of Mark Perry's songs. So it was a beautiful day. It truly was. And I don't know, we consider ourselves Mark Perry groupies, but I don't think you have to be a groupie to enjoy that that particular setup. The next day, the plan was that we were going to take a train ride back to Terrace, but unfortunately that didn't work out, and we had to take the van back. But still, driving that that Highway 16 section of the road is one of the most beautiful parts, you know, you can say in the whole wide world. But so I've got another song to match up to that, with, of course, it's a Mark Perry song. We'll get a little run on that, and let's see if we can get that going.
Fishermen shoulder to shoulder along the banks. They take whatever they can, and nobody ever says thanks. It's my right, I was born here. It doesn't really work for me. Ain't nothing lasts forever, and that's pretty easy to see. And the big Skeena River,
it
keeps on rolling along. And the big Skeena River,
and the big Skeena River,
is running strong. Now the hiders move their war canoes against the current to Battle Hill. Quiet through the water, ready for the kill. And crazy men chased gold and took paddle wheelers up here. Watch high hopes and big dreams fade and disappear. And the big Skeena River,
and the big Skeena River,
keeps on moving along. And the big Skeena River,
and the big Skeena River,
is running strong. Dennis runs his charter boat, foreign fishermen and cannery tours. They talk Sunnyside, Port Essington, some exotic lures. He says we need to work together here and not dwell so much on the past. It's about the future of this river now. How are we gonna make it last? Or will our children curse us for leaving nothing behind? And if anyone hasn't noticed, this river brings life.
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 And the Big Skeena River.
And the Big Skeena River
keeps on rolling. And the Big Skeena River,
and the Big Skeena River
is running strong. Hey, the Big Skeena River,
and the Big
Skeena
River
keeps on rolling along. And the Big Skeena River,
and the Big
Skeena
River
is running strong.
Okay, I'll admit it, I love that song. And that, of course, was Mark Perry, our local troubadour from Smithers, B.C. And he's just recently cut a video of with that song at the confluence of the Bulkley River and the Skeena. And he had invited people from the concert to come down and back up sing that that part, the Big Skeena River. And so we were fortunate to be a part of that. I'm looking forward to seeing that when it comes out. So at this particular moment, this is when I take a break for station identification. And you are listening to CICK Radio. That's 93.9 on your FM dial. Smithers Community Radio. I'm Thomas Tom Roper, and my program is On the Ropes. Tonight's show is titled, What I Did for My 2025 Summer Staycation. I also take the time to give a shout-out to our sponsors. We are a volunteer-run organization, and always very grateful for any and all financial support. So thanks goes out to Classic Sanitary, Accounting on Broadway, Ranch House Tattoo, Phoenix Self Care Studio, and BV Farmers Market. And I just noticed up on the wall that we've actually got Betty Z's Boutique and Subway of Smithers. So that is that's awesome that we can get your support. Thank you very much. So we're moving on. My early summer trips have sort of been the precursors of getting us set up for our big road trip to the Arctic Ocean. It is a fair ways away. You have to kind of like to drive, and you've got to like scenery to really enjoy it. I mean, it's camping. It's got everything that you want. But it's certainly not like maybe going downtown Vancouver and shopping. It's a whole different world out there. So we got everything prepped. We got ready to go. And we got the camper. The 8-foot camper was all loaded. I got new tires for the 204 truck. That truck's fairly old, but it's running like a top. I've got a good mechanic. A little shout out to Glenn. So we're off. And probably one of the happiest moments is when we get to Kitwanga and we can turn right and go north. It's just a very good feeling to be a part of Northern BC, Yukon, and Northwest Territories. So of course our first night we made it to Mezihaddin Lake. There's a beautiful campsite there, and then the next night we'd made it down to Kiniskan, which is on our way to pretty close to Iskut, to Toga Lake up that way. We're making our way towards Dease Lake. And our third night, we had managed to make it as far as Boya Lake. Now, one of our plans was we made a vertical kayak carrier so we could take a couple of boats with us. And our goal was to paddle around in Boya Lake for a good afternoon. Unfortunately, when we got to Boya, it was raining quite hard. So that particular moment we had to put off for another round. And then the next day we left Boya, and you've got a pretty nice stretch. It used to be quite rough. It's still not perfect, but it's a pretty good stretch till we hit the Yukon border. And there's a big sign there. I got my picture taken. Welcome to the Yukon. Definitely a place that you want to be going to at some time in your life. It's very important that you see the Yukon and appreciate the grandeur of Canada that we all collectively own. Whitehorse is as cities go, one of my favorite towns, favorite city. It's got everything. It's a fun place. There's lots of cool restaurants, and it's sitting right on the Yukon River. We had a chance to go up, would be up the river a little bit to Miles Canyon. They've got a suspension bridge going across the canyon. That was a very historic spot where, before the dam was put in for hydroelectric power, that was very, there was some very big rapids there, Whitehorse Rapids. And there was, back in the Klondike era, there was many people were actually drowned at that spot. But at the present day, it's a beautiful spot. It's definitely worth going down and taking a look, crossing the bridge and walking along the trails there. We had a lovely time there. So after we make it through Whitehorse and had a couple of nights out for dinner, then our next goal would be to get to the Dempster Highway. Now, the Dempster Highway is about 40 kilometers before Dawson City. So in our original plan was we would do Dawson City on the way back. So we got to the corner. It's a pretty good drive from Whitehorse up there. I'd say fairly well a day. And there was a lot of road construction and issues, but nothing that we couldn't handle. So we got to the sign, and my wife had stood at that sign 30 years ago and took a picture of the Dempster Highway. And right behind that sign was a new sign that's just been erected, and it says Arctic Ocean, 880 kilometers. So that was pretty cool to see that and to be a part of that. So I've got a few songs that I wanted to put in. Most of what I've got left over now for the remainder of this program were by Inuit artists. And so I'd like to try this one here by Morgan Toney. Let's have a listen to this.
Thank you.
So that song was called Kojua. I don't know if you could hear it as he was singing along there. And his name is Morgan Tony, T-O-N-E-Y. A very beautiful song, beautiful sound that he's got going. He's actually a Mi'kmaq fiddler. And he takes listeners on a cultural revival. He recently won the 2023 ECMA Award for Indigenous Artists of the Year. Very beautiful sound. So, as I was saying, we've made it onto the Dempster Highway. Now, this road is about 700 kilometers. It starts out a little bit rough. You kind of could get the feeling like, oh my goodness, are we going to, should we turn around? But no, we're going to keep going. It takes, maybe it takes about an hour, I would say, to get to the Tombstone Mountains. Once you reach those mountains, there's no turning back. The mountains are really a big highlight of the trip. We plow along, and at the tombstones, it seems like there's a big tourist bureau there, like a park, and there's all kinds of trails and things to do there. It's really a place you could just go up from Dawson and hang out there for the day or for a couple of days. There's campsites around there, and it really is a special area. But we just stayed the one day and then kept on going. We had a goal, and with the amount of mileage that we wanted to cover, we felt we had to keep going to a certain extent. So our next site was what they call Eagle Plains. And Eagle Plains could be considered about halfway, and it is the only, you could say it's the only fueling stop, but there is another one at Fort McPherson that's a little closer to Inuvik. But certainly you want to fuel up from there. And I forgot to mention that at the turnoff before Dawson, there is a fuel station that's unattended that you can get fuel with a card. So that to get you started, you'd start out with a full tank, and then you get to Eagle Plains, it's definitely time to fuel up. Now, we get at Eagle Plains, then you're dealing with the next range, which is called the Ogilvies. And they are another beautiful mountain range, and it just opens up the sky. It's just so striking. The beauty and the expanse of the landscape are like, they're just amazing, completely amazing. Now, the other thing that I thought was a little bit unusual is there was a fair amount of tourist traffic on the road. Lots of campers. We even saw a guy driving a sports car, if you could believe it, because I would be concerned about my tires, but maybe he had new tires. I don't know what his story was. And we ran into a guy with a dog in kind of a case on his bike, and the dog had glasses, driving glasses. He was kind of a cool guy. And there was a fair amount of motorcycle traffic. There's rental campers. There's a lot of the big vans that seems to be a popular item. Well, stand-up vans, those delivery vans can be camperized. Anyways, we carried on, and the next sort of striking item would be reaching the Arctic Circle. And when we pulled into that spot, it had already been snowing for maybe about an hour, and by the time we got there, there was 4 inches of snow on the road. I had to put it in four-wheel drive just to be safe. That would be the last thing you want to do is go off the road kind of in the middle of nowhere. And at the Arctic Circle pullout, that's one of your better views of the Richardson Mountains. And with the snow, we couldn't see a thing. We just knew that was a good spot, and all we could do is hope that on the way back we would get a little bit of a better weather program there. So that was our continuation. There's actually two free ferries. One we've got across the Peel River, and when you're on that particular ferry, you can take a side trip to Arctic Red River. It's another Inuit community, a smaller community on the Peel River itself, that has quite a Inuit name that I can't seem to pronounce. But we didn't go there. We just followed across the Mackenzie. And then once you get to the other side, you're sort of on your way up the Delta. And that was a great feeling to get across there. And the weather started to improve. We got out of the snow. We're kind of coming down out of the mountains. And it warmed up a little bit. So we carried on along through there. And it wasn't that long before we were in Inuvik. And Inuvik is a very cool city. It's there's a lot of government organizations there. It's kind of a very colorful city. They've got a really big igloo church, which is kind of cool. And what struck us 30 years ago, and the same when we got there, today was the Utilidors. I thought that was so cool the way they called that. And what it is with the permafrost, you can't put pipes, sewer pipes, water pipes, that type of stuff into the permafrost. It just doesn't work. So you've got to have everything above ground, insulated. And it's so you see all the houses and buildings, everybody's connected to the same pipe system. It's actually kind of cool the way it's laid out. So we hung around Inuvik. We found a car wash because we were pretty roughed up. We found a campsite with a shower. We found some very good restaurants. Everything was great. So we were just getting ourselves cleaned up, settled down a bit, and getting ready for the final leg of our trip to the Arctic Ocean. When we were up here 30 years ago, there was no road to Tuktoyaktuk. You had to fly, and that was always a challenge. And so this was another kind of one of the reasons we wanted to go back, was to make that drive from Inuvik to Tuk, just to see how the road is. So I've got another song I'd like to present. It's another Inuit song by a group called Northern Haze.
Angayuk sakurai, isumagiya kurai, angayuk sakurai, ikkama vaginai. Maria Kurai, Anna Yuksa Kurai, Ekama Vaginai, Anna Yuksa Kurai, Anigui Yukurai, Anna Yuksa Kurai, Nakligi Vaginai. Kaya kurai, ana yuk sakurai, takurai vaginai, ana yuk sakurai, ikpiya kurai, ana yuk sakurai, umatini Kaya bunai, ilagi rapta bunai, kakura wiga bunai, bihati kurugai, kigone kaya kurugai, bihati kurugai, kakura ibaginai.
So that was a song called Angel Jus Sukulak by Northern Haze. Now that the composers, I've got their names here. The one is called James Ung Attack and his partner Alan Kanguk. The whole Inuit music scene is kind of like, you know, you're going to a whole different area and you're getting a different kind of a musical venue, which is kind of cool. Actually, I really enjoyed it. So I did forget to mention that, you know, we were traveling along the Mackenzie River. That is the 10th largest river in the world. It's a serious river, and when you get to Inuvik, you're still 150 kilometers from the ocean. So there is a big connection, but there's a lot of barge work along that river. That the river actually comes out of Great Slave Lake in the Northwest Territories, and it's a serious amount of water heading to the Arctic Ocean. So our goal, of course, was to get to the Arctic Ocean, and we headed out after we'd spent a little bit of time in Inuvik, and did a little bit of shopping, a little bit of eating, a bit of cleaning. You know, it's all kind of a cool place to sort of unwind, and then pick this next road. Now, I was concerned that the road would be, I'd heard rumors that they were having trouble with it and there was lots of problems, but it was as good as the Dempster Highway, if at times even a bit better. And what you really are doing, you're following this delta of the Mackenzie. It's a wide area of hundreds of lakes that are, you're kind of winding your way through there. It's just gorgeous country. And it is so expansive that you do get that kind of that feeling in your heart that it's so Canadian, you know. Anyways, one of the features that is available to look at is what they call a Pingo, P-I-N-G-O. And we heard about them before. We've seen them by air, but I'd never seen them on the ground. And what it is, it's the permafrost kind of has a forced rise in the landscape, and it creates these mounds or hills. Some of them are pretty tall, little. You wouldn't call them a mountain, but they're pretty good size. And so we stopped by one. I went onto the tundra. Now, I was on the tundra 30 years ago, and it must have been a different season, a little wetter, because we couldn't walk on it. But this particular moment when we were on the tundra, it was dry. So I crossed the tundra and up a little Pingo. My wife took a couple pictures of me. I was kind of proud of myself, and it was kind of fun. So when you get through your drive into Tuck, there is a campsite just on the coming into town, and there's a couple Pingos there, and there's actually a tourist operator that has a boat, and he can take you over one of the lakes to one of the bigger Pingos. Kind of a fun thing to do. And so we checked all that area out, and then we headed ourselves into Tuck. Now, if you recall, Tuck, Tuyoktuk, and other areas along the north sort of came to be back in the 50s when the Americans and the Canadians and other countries across the north had set up what they call the DEW program, the Distant Early Warning, and they had these radar set-up sites. They were very concerned about the Russians invading. And so that Tuk Tuyoktuk had that setup. So that is one of the things that kept that sort of town going. Now, that has since been removed. But anyways, well, we got into town, we were pretty, you know, excited. And I checked the speedometer, 2,600 kilometers we'd put on, and that was it was pretty amazing, really, that we'd been able to make it that far. We found ourselves a place to go. You know, we went to the tourist bureau. We drove to the point, and we parked and walked out to the point, and that's the last sort of land point before you're into the ocean. Put our foot in the water, and then started to proceed to look around town and see what was going on. And it turns out we just happened to hit the same weekend as a Tuktoyaktuk music festival. So that was kind of cool. They had a sort of an opening, and I've got a song here that kind of came from that, the festival. We signed up there for singers, drummers, and dancers were going there. So I'm going to just play this right now. It's not a long clip. So that was a drumming, dancing clip from the Inuvialuit Cultural Resource Center. That center was set up in Tuktoyaktuk in 1999, and they, actually, pardon me, in 2017. Where are we here? Yeah. Oh, it was 1998, yeah. And it was put in place to help preserve and revitalize the Inuvialuit language. Presently, they've relocated to Inuvik. There's a bigger population down there and a bigger area that they can reach. So here we are in Tuktoyaktuk. We're set up on a campsite along the ocean. The sun, that was kind of cool, was that it didn't go down till 1 a.m. This is still in early September, you know, so late August. So I was kind of impressed with that. It was pretty cool. So we had enjoyed the festival. We spent a day around that. We looked around. It's a pretty small town. Tried to kind of chat with a few of the other campers. There was at least 30 other tourists there at the same time. And then when we got settled down, you know, there's a road along the beach that kind of goes to that point. And it seems that that is where every resident of town has to come out and spend the evening right till it's dark doing a mainer. So that was something that we got a pretty good laugh out of that. But I tell you, the honest truth, we are very happy to see the Inuit people living and thriving this far north, is it's so important that we maintain our Canadian presence in the Arctic. So we were very happy about that. Now, I've got a really cool little sound bit off this guy. I don't know how it came up, but it's a Quebec band, and they had just come up with this short spin. So have a listen to this.
Honestie, toc toc toc, ça prend deux fers pis du gaz aussi. Toc toc toc, le litre de gaz y est à 10 piastres. Pis ben souvent, ils en ont même pas sur place. Toc toc toc, c'est là que mon ami est parti. Toc toc toc, j'penserais pas qu'il pense sa vie.
Now, that was a little bit funky, I thought. I had a hard time finding information about this particular band. They're called Via de Quartier, and they're actually, they were formed in 2017 with an adventure that started by five neighbors who love to jam and party on Panette Street in Jonquière, Quebec. That was kind of a fun thing. So that's pretty well it. We're there in Tuck. Of course, we've got to turn around and come back that 2,600 kilometers. And there's going to be a few stories and adventures on that trip. But we don't have time to close that return trip out on this particular show. So we pulled it off, and we're pretty happy. We would do it again at the drop of a hat. It's just beautiful country up there. And my Canadian heart, it always swells at the sight. So thank you very much for listening. And remember, all programs are archived on smithersradio.com. Schedule top left, scroll down to Monday 6 on the ropes. Please tune in next week. We've got a show on Monday, October the 6th at 6 p.m. with an interview with Martha Wirtz, a local Smithers artisan. So I'm going to close her out, and here we go. There we are, somewhere there, right there.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side.